knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, how are you doing this week?
I'm fantastic.
I am so excited for you to be on the Regal Beagle Podcast during the first few episodes of Season 4, a very important series season in the whole series, as we transition and introduce all the new players as we usher out the Ropers. So Season 4, Episode 3, The New Landlord.
Oh.
It aired September 25th, 1979, directed by Dave Powers, written by Michael S. Bazer and Kim Weisskopf. The kids meet their new landlord, Ralph Furley.
Ralph Furley.
Played by the legendary Don Knotts. This is it, man. This is the episode. This is the episode I've been wanting you to watch after going through 3 seasons with the Ropers.
Painful.
Painful seasons yeah. for you, and I understand. And having to drag you through this, promising series, season after season, that it will get better. There will come changes. There will be new things, new horizons. And this is one of the horizons that has happened.
Boy.
This is Mr. Ralph Furley. Now, Three's Company fans break down into 2 kinds. Simple as that. Are you a Ropers fan or are you a Furley fan? It's like saying you like the Beatles or you like the Rolling Stones. Do you like Iron Maiden or do you like Judas Priest? It's that's just how dividing that is. And I know this is the first episode with you watching Furley, and I have to tell you, I am a Furley guy down to my bones. I love Ralph Furley, one of my favorite TV characters. If there's anyone to give Jack Tripper and John Ritter a run for their money, it is Mr. Furley. He is comedic genius. He shined in this. And I mean, who knew? He was like a sub, a replacement, you know, of the Ropers. This thing that was so popular that they gave him their own show. How do you follow that? The nervousness, the pressure on Don Knotts to follow that.
Okay, so set this up for me. He had some sort of reputation coming in, right?
Because he was on the Andy Griffith
when
show.
When we see him for the first time, chronologically, he was already okay. Because as soon as we see him, there's immediate reaction from the audience.
Yeah, because everybody knows him from Mayberry and
right,
the Andy Griffith show.
So he's already established. This isn't like his...
But they've known him as, you know, a person in uniform. He was an officer, and we see him dressed in bright.
Can we talk about the first outfit he wears when we meet him? That patchwork denim like suit, full
turquoise
suit with the handkerchief.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, it's a fantastic aesthetic, and like no one else like I've seen on this show up until now.
Yeah,
like maybe a few bit characters. But even then, it wasn't as like flamboyant, and like out there as this was,
and put on a person who looked like Don Knotts. It's just awesome.
Just without even opening his mouth, like his just the aesthetic was just like funny.
Yeah, and I think he was already wearing a toupee. You know what I mean? Like he's already like you know, really old, and he's wearing a toupee, and he's trying to keep up with these kids.
Yeah,
it's grand. I mean, he is, and then he orders right off the bat a scotch and root beer. I mean, like right, just setting up his character with just a drink order.
Yeah,
and you know, we see Larry just already know through Larry's facial expression, we already know what we're supposed to think. It informs us as to what we are supposed to think of Furley.
And. In my opinion, enough cannot be said about Larry in this new season, because I feel like up until now, every time we meet somebody new and every time there's a new character or a new idea introduced in the show, we always see it through the lens of Jack and the girls.
Right.
There's never any other way. And that's always sort of how we... So to have another, you know, ancillary you know, arguably main character now to help us sort of usher in new people is really refreshing.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a really, I thought it was a really great choice to sort of have Larry introduce us to Furley rather than just like sort of, you know, your standard, he, you know, knock on the door. Hi, I'm your new landlord.
Like, yeah.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
There were so many ways they could have done it that would have just kind of, you know, shrug and fine. But like, I thought it was great.
Yeah. And we also find out Larry's actual apartment number, which is 304.
Yeah.
So use that number as you will. Passwords, passcodes, you know, just code yourself, you know.
Right.
I can maybe text you, hey, it's 304.
Okay.
Texting you. and so, yeah, so he, you know, again, the great miscommunication and mix-up, and the girls think that Furley's hitting on them.
It's great.
And, you know.
And I will say, too, that I love immediately he establishes himself as like, almost polar opposite, maybe polar opposite is strong, but in a different mindset than the Ropers, because immediately he's immediately like he's a bachelor.
Yeah.
Right. He states very clear that he's a bachelor, and like that, I think, moves us into the mindset now of like, okay, this is now going to be his MO going into every situation.
Right.
And that's hilarious.
Right. right as opposed to Mr. Roper, the other male landlord,
yeah,
who's so scared of being perceived as this and that and was so conservative and tight-lipped and he never dared do anything sexual. Mr. Furley is on the make all the time, almost more than Larry.
Oh yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, we have three on the show, three, yeah, bachelors on the make: Jack, Larry, and Mr. Furley.
And then you toss Lana into the mix.
I mean, it's, oh, charged.
It's a recipe.
Man. Yeah, it's just charged.
It's a recipe.
So he just went from this old stodgy couple,
so,
who were, you know, to this, yeah. Like everyone's on the make now.
So how can anybody possibly be Team Roper? That's my question.
There are people.
But
there are people. Yeah, I
mean, at the beginning of the podcast, you said Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
come on. That, no, that's like
Furley would be the Stones.
Well, okay. Well, you think, okay, well, if Furley's the Stones, then the Ropers are like Coldplay.
Okay, we'll go and play Stones.
Or like, well, Nickelback.
Okay. Politically, I can't say anything about that, but
that's fine.
But I understand, but I just, what you mean.
Okay, all of that to say, how can anybody be Team Roper?
There are fans. The fans that gave them the spinoff. You know, the fans that...
But surely those fans then followed them to the different show.
Yeah, they had no idea what they were in store for with Furley.
Okay.
Like, once Furley came on... I mean, I'm just going by what I saw. Like, there weren't any chat rooms
or, sure,
internet here.
Yeah.
Just going by, like, the people you meet when you talk about Three's Company, it always, before you continue the conversation, is,
yeah,
what, are you Furley or are you the Ropers? That's, yeah, what everyone asks each other.
Yeah.
And most people will say Furley because of how sexually charged the show became. And he's just such a funny, and he wasn't scared of putting himself out. Furley wasn't scared.
Well, it gives the show a new energy, just because even like when you have those like sort of like sexually charged miscommunications and mishaps with the Ropers, you sort of have like both of them kind of like backing up and sort of like assessing the situation and like, oh, do they really feel this way? And there's a lot more questioning, where at least even in this one episode, Furley's just dives right in.
Yeah.
And is just like immediately right there. So like already just sort of like the interplay between the characters feels so much more natural and like they like on the same level. And it, whereas before it was very much like almost two different mindsets and different schools of thought, and then just trying to smash them together to create some sort of patchwork episode or story or something like that. And I think the testament to that is the way that this episode was executed and incorporating all of the new characters, right? So, mm-hmm, you have Larry introducing, yeah, Furley.
So now in the intro, everyone's, yeah, in the intro. It's the,
exactly,
it's the full intro now.
And then Larry's involved. And then you get Lana involved. So then you play off of Lana and Jack's relationship to create this new relationship and dynamic between Furley and Lana, which I also thought wasn't, I didn't see coming, but I think is brilliant if they keep it going, that through all of that mess and like rejection that Furley thinks Lana is like in love with him. And I hope that that is a thing that continues because that's hilarious.
Yeah, I can't say.
Okay.
But there is also a very similar kind of Roper's thing going on between Lana and Furley that I think the writers and the producers were like, let's give them a little taste of what we had before, which okay. is like a cat and mouse game, except it's not Mrs. Roper chasing after Mr. Roper or the woman chasing after the man. It's the older man loser chasing yeah. after the bombshell younger kind of woman.
Yeah.
You know, Lana's in her 40s. Furley's got to be in his 60s. You know, there's still a 20-year difference yeah. between yeah. Furley and Lana here. And the way Lana just slices and dices his ego doesn't matter because no. his ego is already flattened.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to give it up for Furley. Like, even though he's been stomped on by women, he still thinks he's, you know, number one.
Yeah. He's very gullible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I loved, too, how his dinner outfit, when he was having the one-on-one dinner with Lana, matched the table setting. I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, I never even noticed that.
Okay. Hilarious.
I gotta go back and notice that. Okay.
And 3 for 3 with the pie smashes.
Right.
In this season. Because he gets a cake in the face.
That's true. Yeah.
Because they lost the dinner, served him the cake.
Yeah.
Sang the famous Romanian Yum Yum song.
Which, come on, that's like, brilliant. Come on. That's like, that's brilliant.
It was great.
Yeah. Yum, 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 yum. Hey, it's like, it's genius stuff, and it doesn't take much.
No.
Yeah.
It was, like, and it was just like, it was effortless almost.
Yes. And you know, John Ritter is the only one who can pull that off, I think.
It was great.
You know? So yeah, the famous Romanian yum, yum song. And in that situation, I think Chrissy really helps push that yum, yum song.
Totally.
Like totally. Like,
yeah.
So good. And Lana's great too. So, yeah, I thought it was a brilliant episode and an amazing introduction for an amazing character.
I really don't think they could have done it any better, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. You really built it up. You built it up and you built it up and you built it up.
I did.
And I would say the expectation was very high.
Okay.
And I would say it exceeded those.
Amazing.
Like, where am I? What I was expecting.
Amazing.
Was like. Was great, was greatness. And I got that and maybe a little bit more.
Oh, awesome.
Because what it did was, I think, it didn't just like stop right there. It now you've like sort of like you've sown the seeds and you really have created sort of like a breeding ground for like so many more situations. And arguably like a lot of storylines and things that happened already in season 1, 2, and 3 that I wouldn't mind recycling with these new characters.
Right.
Because it would just be that much better.
Right.
And less forced. I don't know. It was great. I've said a lot of bad things about this show.
Right. And I, you know what? I was just waiting till we get to points like these. So I could just go, this is why I wanted you to just drag yourself through these seasons. And it just makes me want to sing the famous Romanian yum yum song in celebration.